first scripture reading this morning is from Acts 34 to 43. This is when Gentiles hear the good news. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The second reading this morning is from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, and is the resurrection of Jesus. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went in, amazed at what had happened. Herein ends the readings this morning.
He is risen. He is risen indeed. That's the proclamation for this Easter day. That's the good news. We are an Easter people. The good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is at the heart of our faith. God has said yes over against all the negativity and death of Good Friday. Easter, yes. All of the Easter stories in each of the four Gospels tell us that death is not the last word, that the killing power of the empire is not the ultimate authority. God has said no to those powers and yes to Jesus. As John Dominic Crossan and Marcus Borg write in their recent book, The Last Week, Easter is God's vindication of Jesus. Easter affirms that the domination systems of this world are not of God, and that they do not have the final word. Close quotes. Many people, too many people, know the pain and suffering of a Good Friday world. They have experienced discrimination, domination, violence, and experienced a no, if you will, from life. They're stuck, as I prayed on Good Friday. The latest issue of Newsweek contains a number of stories about remarkable women around the world. And one of the stories was heart-wrenching. Story that we probably all heard about, the gang rape in India in December of a young woman who was brutally raped in a bus, and as she fought back was disemboweled and then left to die on the street. But her rape and her death has caused international light to shine on the sexual violence against women in India and around the world. All those people who are caught in a Good Friday world. This last week, as I've been thinking about this theme and Easter, and what does an Easter yes mean? I was thinking of it in the context of the events out of Washington. 2 days of hearings before the Supreme Court on Proposition 8 out of California and the National Defense of Marriage Act. Two laws which legalize discrimination against gays and lesbians by denying them the right and benefit of marriage, keeping people stuck in a Good Friday world. And as I was following the news and following the postings on the internet, I came across a short posting from a more light Presbyterian about her church. And she wrote, "In church, it is frequently heard, we need love. It's a trite, important phrase. But I also wonder about those who already have it. Love, that is. For some of us who have love, how many of us can practice it without condemnation? The LGBT community is denied participation and celebration in our church regarding love. Christ's resurrection also celebrates what is so often referred to as, quote, their concept of love, close quotes. Whenever I hear such rhetoric, my heart breaks a little. Love is simply love," she wrote. "God's love manifested between two people, however they self-identify, is universal. By condemning same-gender couples to not marry, does the church not also realize that it has condemned love?" Close quotes. My initial response was, wait a minute. Not all churches Not in all churches is there discrimination against gays and lesbians. I thought, have you not heard about the United Church of Christ? And then I realized she was addressing her church. And sadly, there are still too many churches that fit that description, that practice discrimination against some people and keep them stuck in the know of a Good Friday world. There are just too many people in our world that are marginalized, that are experiencing discrimination, domination by powers, sexual violence, other kinds of violence against their persons. Too many people that are experiencing the no of Good Friday. They need to hear the good news of God's yes in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But more than hearing, they need to experience the Easter yes. And so, as an Easter people that we claim to be, we need to tell the story and to live our faith in such a way that people can see and experience the Easter yes. So how do we tell the story? How do we live our lives that way? How do we tell the story of an Easter yes in a world stuck on the no of Good Friday? Well, the first storytellers, Mary Magdalene and the other women, they knew how to do it. They told the story of that empty tomb. They talked about being afraid and looking into the dark place and then seeing light. They talked about not seeing Jesus in the tomb, about learning that he was already going ahead of them into the Galilee. And so they went looking. And they found an Easter yes. They found it when they told their story about looking in the dark place and finding light. They found Easter yes when they dared to keep on telling the story, even when the powers of the empire wanted to deny it and stop them. And they found Easter yes when they dared to tell other stories that they remembered about the loaves and fishes that were multiplied so that all the hungry were able to eat, about the Good Samaritan and the vision of the banquet table where all are welcome. They found an Easter yes when they dared to talk about Jesus' alternative ways, saying that God's blessing was found not with the mighty, but the meek, not with the rich, but with the poor, not with the persecutor, but the persecuted, not with those who condoned and practiced violence, but with the peacemaker. And they found Easter yes when they carried on the practices that Jesus taught them practices like sharing their goods and welcoming the stranger and caring for the least among them. They found Easter, yes, when they saw that all the power and coercion and might of Rome could not stop their story or their alternative way of being in the world, could not stop the vision that God has for an Easter yes for all people. And so we have a story to tell, to share, to live. So let's not be afraid of the harsh realities of a Good Friday world. We can't deny that, and we should not deny that many people are still stuck on Good Friday. But we need to tell people and to show people that there's an alternative, that God has said yes in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I believe that those caught in the know of a Good Friday world are looking and hoping for an alternative. They want to hear and experience that yes. And I have a hunch that if we tell our story well and live it, they will come into our church to see if we truly do offer something different. Anything that might make sense to all the Good Fridays that we can't deny. And I do believe that we can offer, and we do offer, something different. An Easter yes. A community that welcomes all people, all expressions of love, and does not discriminate. All those suffering the know of Good Friday, as I said, not only need to hear, but they need to experience. And they need to experience from us the Easter yes. And I hope, and I pray, and I believe that they will. Amen. Alleluia. Amen.